You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
You are a sinner. Jesus died for your sins. Life can be tough now, but one day you'll go to heaven, so you can be happy. Amen. That's it. The basic truths of Christianity. Let me ask you, have you ever heard those truths and yawned? I confess I have. Please, don't get me wrong. I know I am a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. That's the most important truth in my life. And yes, I believe I'll go to heaven. Jesus rose, and I will live with Him. The problem is not with those basic truths. The problem is that I'm assuming now that you can identify with me, we are not totally convinced it is true. If we were, we would meet every problem of life with confident faith, but we don't. We waver. It reminds me of grade school. You got a crush on someone in your class. You wondered if he or she liked you, too. So you take an apple and twist on the stem. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. When the stem broke off, you supposedly had your answer. He loved you, or he didn't. Of course, the truth was that you didn't know. That's the way we often act about the basic truths of the Christian faith. Does God really love me? A twist here, a twist there, but we live like we really are not sure. This wavering is not good. I hate those who have a divided heart, says Psalm 119, verse 113. James 1, verses 7 and 8 warn, a person who has doubts shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. This wavering is not pleasing to God. So the goal of my message is that you and I live confidently, convinced beyond doubt that God does love us. Like the man in Mark 9, verse 24, we pray, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. With that introduction, how can we get greater certainty of faith? They shall not be ashamed who wait for me, God promises in Isaiah 49, verse 23. Now, I'm not very good about waiting. Sitting for a red light doesn't please me. Waiting in line at a fast food restaurant, that annoys me. Most of us are in such a hurry. We aren't good about waiting. Waiting on the Lord is even tougher. Take Moses, for example. You may remember from your Bible history that Moses was born to Hebrew parents who were slaves in Egypt. Moses, however, was raised in the home of Pharaoh's daughter and lived as a prince. One day, when an adult Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, he got angry and killed the slave driver. Word of the murder reached Pharaoh, and Moses fled. He spent his exile in the wilderness of Sinai, where he married a local girl and tended the flocks of her father. That's all told in the second chapter of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 3, God appeared to Moses at the burning bush and said, I have heard the cry of the people of Israel. I have seen how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you can bring my people Israel out of Egypt. If I had been in Moses' place, I would have wanted some proof, some absolute, rock-solid, no doubt about it, proof that this was really going to happen. Wouldn't you? That gets back to today's issue of living with Christian confidence, with certainty. God's ways, however, are not our ways. The Lord said, I will be with you, and this will be the proof that I sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, all of you will worship God on this mountain. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. God did not give Moses any absolute, rock-solid, no doubt about it proof. The fact was that Moses wasn't going to know for sure until sometime in the future, whenever the Israelites left Egypt and came to Mount Sinai and worshiped God. For the time being, the only thing Moses had going for him was the promise from God. Only on the strength of the promise was he going to stand up before Pharaoh and say, "Let God's people go." That's what makes waiting on the Lord so hard. We like proof, and we want it now. But waiting on the Lord is not about sight. It's about faith. It's about trusting that what God has said, He will do. St. Paul wrote in the New Testament, "We walk by faith, not by sight." When God told Moses, "When you bring the people out of Egypt, all of you will worship God on this mountain," God showed that His people through the ages are called to live by faith, to wait on the Lord. Waiting for a red light is a piece of cake compared to waiting on the Lord. That takes work. It's not that we are saved by works. We are not. The Bible does say, "Seek the Lord while He may be found." Isaiah 55, verse 6. Waiting on the Lord is strenuous. First, you have to be thoroughly honest and admit that ultimately the Lord is your only hope. Moses knew he couldn't do it. The children of Israel would be rescued only if the Lord kept His promise. If you really want Christian confidence for living, if you want to know that God really does love you, the first thing to do is stop being enamored with the people and things that you vainly imagine will turn your life around. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Do the honest and strenuous work of admitting that in the last analysis, the Lord, only the Lord, is your hope. Second, waiting on the Lord means hanging on to the promises of God. Jesus said that the words of God are spirit and life. John 6, verse 63. So search the Scriptures. Get to know the promises of God. Read them in the Bible and in devotional literature. "He that is of God hears God's word," said Jesus in John chapter 8. Hear the promises in church and on programs like this one. Understand the promises of God. Memorize them. Take them into your very being. These are promises of hope and help. "The Lord will not fail you," says Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Wait on the Lord. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 40, "Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength." It's in the waiting I've just described that your spiritual strength grows, that you become more certain about what you believe, that you stop wavering and know more and more that God really does love you. You see, God didn't tell Moses that the proof would come when they entered the promised land. No, it was when they worshiped on the mountain. That's just the way it turned out in Exodus 19 and 20. You don't have to wait until heaven to know for sure that God loves you. Certainty of faith comes by waiting on the Lord. And that happens preeminently in Sunday worship. Sunday worship is not just getting together to praise the Lord. It's that, to be sure. But worshiping in a congregation where the law and the gospel of Jesus Christ are proclaimed through word and sacrament is chiefly God at work. In worship, God confirms the promises you have heard over and over again. Weekly services are the place, the preeminent place, where you can wait on the Lord and He will renew your strength. The invocation begins the service. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you've heard it before. But it is a weekly reminder that you are loved, that God has made you His own in baptism. Worship includes confession of your sins and God's word of forgiveness. Sure, same old, same old. But I've experienced in my life that guilt is a persistent thing. It doesn't go away easily. I need to hear week after week that Jesus Christ paid the price of my guilt on Calvary's cross. Because of Jesus, God does not hold my sins against me or your sins against you. So we should be glad to hear over and over again that Jesus Christ is the same Savior yesterday, today, and forever. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. In worship, we wait on the Lord, and He confirms His promises to us through hymns and Bible readings, and sermons. Though new hymns are written, new translations rendered, and creative sermons preached, God intends the truths of His good promises to be the same. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32 says, "Be sure to do everything I command you. Never add anything to it or take anything away from it." Same old, same old? Yes! On this side of the promised land, on this side of eternity, we live by faith in the unchanging promises of God. The story of the sisters Mary and Martha is dear to many of us. Mary loved Jesus, loved to sit at His feet and hear His promises. Martha loved Jesus too, but not as wholeheartedly as her sister. There were, after all, practical things that had to be done. The 19th century poet Elizabeth S. P. Ward wrote a poem about one person who has within her a Mary side and a Martha side. The poem is about one person who wavers. Does God love me, or does He not? Now the Martha of her, stiffened to her load, down weighing of relentless daily care, now she straightened upright, would not bend nor break, but held herself all iron standing there. When the Mary of her called unto her soul and made a moan and cried to it in vain, "Oh, this woman, look! She fretteth over much and leaves no space for me. Lord, I complain." Oh, a soul divided is a soul forespent. She went still asking, "Is it I or I?" Lo, forever through the silence Mary spoke, and Martha, sad and sure, did make reply. Till the irony and harmony of death made out of these a concord high and sweet, When the Martha of the woman toiling, past estranged from ease, she sought her master's feet. "Now my turn has come, my turn at last," she cried, "my time to worship, listening to thy word." Oh, but calm beyond her, fair above her still, the Mary of her knelt before her Lord. I am, and I think you are, so much like the woman in Miss Ward's poem. A soul divided is a soul forespent. Better to be like Mary, better to be like Moses, and wait on the Lord. Let sincere worship be your weekly priority, and then you will know more and more that nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He who called you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.